Hi, everybody. Welcome back. Final segment of Crunch Time for a Wednesday. That means it is time for the Crunch Exchange, brought to you by Gary Jordan of America Prize Financial Services. Office is located 2260 Oakmont Way in Eugene. When you have the right financial advisor, life can be brilliant. Phone number 541-484-2444. Let's go ahead and get started. So the Crunch Exchange, I'm going to give Steve some stories from around the world of sports. He's going to tell us, of course, if he's buying or selling the prospectus. There's also an option for pending. I feel like this is about to become a regular segment, not just for the Crunch Exchange, but for the show in general. Like, we're going to dedicate a good 15 minutes every week to this. So Arizona head coach Sean Miller is in very big trouble. It's been a bad few months for Arizona head coaches, by the way. But according to reports this week, he was captured on an FBI wiretap talking about paying DeAndre Ayton $100,000 to play for him. This is the first time a major head coach has been named in these reports, but it will surely not be the last. Don't call me Shirley. Miller has had a lot of success in college hoops, both at Xavier and Arizona, was widely respected throughout the country, but now he has this. He's not coaching his team, and his lawyers are negotiating his future with the school. He maintains his innocence as the timeline of the wiretap call has a few holes in it, but it's the FBI, bro. The prospectus, Sean Miller is done at Arizona.
I'm feeling pretty confident that with the Board of Regents meeting Thursday and talking about money, that's not so he can coach in the Pac-12 tournament. Right. I think, done, buy it.
John Calipari currently avoiding the radar of the FBI, apparently, which probably surprises everyone, including him. But he was asked yesterday about the NCAA money factory and how the players usually get screwed in the cash distribution. He has a unique perspective in that he has seen many one-and-done guys and NBA players in general that made a lot of money for his schools and the NCAA as a whole. And he said that the NCAA should work with NBA, the NBA's Players Association, to figure out how to fix the agent payment issue, and that a possible solution for a lot of these guys would be to allow them to make money off of their likeness. But that would also mean they would no longer be amateurs, so there would be a lot to work out there. So the prospectus, college athletes should at least be able to make money off of their own likeness.
Yeah, you know, this is a conversation if we had 3 years ago, I'd be like, sell it. Last year, maybe even, pending. At this point, at least as a jumping off point, there's got to be a way to figure out if you're buying the jersey of that guy or girl or woman, should at least get a cut. So I'm going to, where I once would have been like, now I'm just going to buy it.
Just when you think a Dana Altman team is dead after being swept by the LA schools, they respond by taking down both Arizona State and Arizona at home. They now sit 19-10 with a massive trip to the Washington schools looming. The assumption right now is that they must win both of those games and the Pac-12 tournament to get to the NCAA tourney. That would put them at 26-10 overall. I think it would be amazing if any team had 26 wins in a major conference but didn't get in. But do they need to go that far? The Arizona and ASU wins really helped their RPI, but they still sit at 74. It's still conceivable that they move to 21 wins after sweeping the Washington schools, take a couple of games in the conference tournament, that there could be an outside shot at getting in on the bubble. So the prospectus, Oregon must win out to make the tourney.
Oh, well, if they win out, that includes winning the conference tournament,
which means they have to make the tourney.
No, so you're saying so they got to win the Pac-12 tournament to make the big dance. I don't believe that. I think win-win may be enough. So I'm going to sell that.
Sound very confident about that one.
Right.
James Harden is confident, Steve. So confident that he says this is the Rockets' year. He thinks the Rockets team is the best roster he's been on top to bottom. And that includes the Thunder when he was joined by Westbrook and Durant. Now, Harden is the clear MVP at this point. 31 points, 5 boards, 9 assists per game. But don't look now, and the Rockets as a team are backing him up. They now have won 13 games in a row, have a half-game lead on the Warriors for the best record in the NBA. It feels like we've all been sleeping sleeping on Houston a bit, but here they are, the best team in the West and the league as a whole. But the playoffs are different, especially with Houston. So the prospectus, Houston is the favorite to win the NBA title right now.
Well, the bottom line is the only problem is when the playoffs start, you got to play defense. And we've seen some outstanding D'Antoni teams flip the switch to try and play defense and get in the vicinity of the conference finals. Team to beat is the Warriors. Sell it.
Jonathan Stewart was cut by the Panthers today after 10 seasons with the team.
That's finishes, what I had to wait for.
Finishes his time there. The Panthers' all-time leading rusher, 7,318 yards, 51 career touchdowns. Also over 1,000 yards receiving with 7 scores through the air. Now, Oregon has had a ton of really good running backs, but not many who have been successful in the NFL. Stewart is one of them, but is he the best? Derek Laville had a successful career, a somewhat long career in the NFL, didn't really put up any numbers. Reuben Jones had 2,000-yard seasons in Denver and Cleveland, only finished with 3,600 total yards as he moved to fullback for part of his career. Mo Morris, long career, never went over 628 yards in a season. LeGarrette Blount looks to be second best. 2,000-yard seasons, nearly 6,000 yards total, same amount of touchdowns, 51, than Stewart in 2 fewer seasons. So I guess it comes down to those two. The prospectus, Jonathan Stewart, Oregon's best NFL running back ever.
Well, the thing about it is this could be a really different conversation in 2 years, but as we speak here on the last day of February, 2018, I'm going to say Jonathan Stewart is the best running back at Oregon to ever play running back in the NFL. Buy it!
Speaking of running backs being released, the Colts did so with Frank Gore, who was already the 49ers' all-time leading rusher, had a solid 3 seasons with the Colts as well. This move could end his career, even though he has been productive in his time in Indy the last few years. 34 years old, probably finish his career if he does retire, 1,426 yards, 77 touchdowns, 3,672 yards, 17 touchdowns through the air on 443 catches. He never really had a bad season in 13 years. 608 yards in his rookie year, by far his lowest. 9,000-yard seasons. 2 of his last 3 were only 40 yards shy of that. Colts GM Chris Ballard called him a first-ballot Hall of Famer with those numbers. Gore says he still wants to play, but assuming he doesn't, the prospectus, Frank Gore, a first-ballot Hall of Famer.
First-ballot Hall of Famer! This is madness. By the way, same draft as Aaron Rodgers, Alex Smith, Pac-Man Jones, Thomas Davis, Derek Johnson. Amazingly, all those first-round picks are still playing.
That is crazy.
In the NFL.
And especially Gore, 34 years old and a running back. And he has never had a year where he had like significant injuries. He played every year of his career.
It's amazing how many good players in that draft. Ronnie Brown, Antrell Roll, DeMarcus Ware, who retired last year, and on and on. First ballot Hall of Fame. We see how ridiculous the pro football dudes are. So while I think he eventually gets his bust first ballot, I'm going to have to sell that one.